Now, the question is, what will be the immediate solution to the collapse of the dollar? It won't collapse totally. How many remember Cyprus? What did they do? They took everything over 150,000 pounds or euros. They closed the banks for 10 days. A lot of that money was Russian money. So guess what the Russian warships have been sent to do? They're all around the area of Syria and Cyprus. No little coincidence. Now, that was a test. What they have done in Poland is force all of those who have retirement money to buy Polish government bonds. So they confiscated that money and put it into bonds, and they can't get rid of it unless they sell it at a discounted price. So there are plans in the United States government to do the same thing. Now then, what's going to happen to your money in the bank account? Well, if you recall, years ago it used to be every account is insured by the FDIC, and it used to be $200,000 for every account. Now, if you read it carefully, when you go into the bank, they have a little pad sitting right up front where you go to the teller to either deposit or to take out. And it says, every depositor. So if you have two accounts, three accounts, four accounts, five accounts, guess what? One depositor, anything over 250, poof. What they also have in mind is this, that to split the dollar, international dollar, everything outside the U.S. in international dollars, everything in the U.S., and these dollars cannot be used outside the United States. Okay? All U.S. dollars internally will be devalued 20% or more. And all of those things happen over a weekend. Remember they shut down the Cyprus banks Saturday, Sunday, then they extended it clear around to the next Monday? Remember this. The question was, how soon will this happen? We don't know, but we're sitting very precariously. You know, it can't be too far away when our U.S. Treasury bonds. Let me tell you a little secret about that. The Chinese have been squawking that they don't want to buy our bonds. But they settled with the U.S. Treasury Department that if you buy our bonds, we will let you come to the Fed window to buy them and you don't have to pay the broker fee. So they're still buying them. But the holder of the debt is the controller of your future. So they're planning on a devaluation, maybe as much as 30%. And if they take everything over $250,000 from everybody, that's going to virtually throw the nation into bankruptcy. Now, if you're lucky enough to have some gold or some silver, that's when it will become valuable after that collapse has happened. But it is bound to happen. Because we have a government that is voraciously spending money as if it's running as fast to the burning embers of the hell fire as they can get there. And that very well may be also planned. All of this happens. Let's come here to Jeremiah the first chapter, okay? Jeremiah the first chapter. All of this has happened because of the so-called Christian leaders, and the people. God combines all the sins of the people together. Now, let me tell you something very interesting. I watch off and on the National Geographic Channel, and they have a program called Drug Inc. So I suggest you watch it. The other night I was watching it, and I was startled at the self-righteousness of the Brits. And they ran escort with a man who sells cocaine to the affluent, to the lords, to the ladies, to the parliament members. And the self-righteousness was this: I'm not a crook, I'm providing a service. And this is for entertainment for these people. I keep everything confidential. I'm always on time with what they order. And they can rest assured that I will never disclose who they are. So he's saying, I'm a good cocaine dealer. And these are good people who have it because they only do it for entertainment. And then it showed a couple of ladies who were pot smokers and cocaine snorters, and they just do it for entertainment and relaxation. And we do just enough so we don't get addicted to it. So we're good pot smokers and we're good cocaine users because we just use it for entertainment. And of course, we're keeping ourselves so that we won't suffer any of the problems that come with it. And I thought, how typically delusional of the Brits, because they are British and they've got this long history of the throne and long history of their existence, we are above everybody else. That reminds me of Joseph. When he went out to his brothers, here's the youngest one, he goes out there and says, oh, brothers, gather around, I want to tell you something. I was out in the field, and the sheaves were there, my sheaf and all of your sheaves, and all of your sheaves bow down to me. And I stand before you with my tunic from my head to my feet to verify that I am the great one. Now, he didn't say it that way, but that's what is messy. Okay. And if that weren't enough, then he came back and said, I had another dream. He even told his dad. The sun, the moon, and the stars, mother and father, they all bow down and worship me, and all the sons. And when he went out and told his older brothers, that's when they threw him in the pit, and then God took over from there and sent him into Egypt to learn a few lessons of humility. See? So likewise, it's going to happen to the Brits again. Everything is going to just poof, economically, disappear on them and on us. Now, one little sidebar. There was a recent article in the San Jose Mercury News about the great booming in the housing market with homes over $1 million. And guess who were buying them? The Chinese. So guess what they are going to do when all of this happens? They're going to remember with Britain the opium wars that you tried to conquer us with opium. So we're going to get in a position where we are going to own you and get in a position where we are going to own the Americans. And when that happens, there will be nothing that they can do against them. Are you going to fight to 2 billion people? Why does all this come? A lot of people look at the Bible and say, well, all of this has been fulfilled. None of this is going to happen. But it is. We're good people. God loves us. But let's see what God says. Let's pick it up, Jeremiah 1 and verse 13. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and its face is from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north, the disaster will be let loose on all the inhabitants of the land, because that's the only way to come into the Holy Land, from the north. Very difficult from the east, it's impossible from the south. For behold, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, says the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem and against all its walls all around and against all the cities of Judah. Did that happen? Yes, it did. And if you want a historical verification of it, get the book of Josephus and read about the fall of Jerusalem in 586, 85 BC, and also the fall of Jerusalem in 66 to 70 AD. It is gruesome. It is bloody. It is absolutely mind-boggling of the things that happened then. And we can multiply it hundreds of thousands of times over because there are that many more people. Verse 16, and I will pronounce my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness in that they have forsaken me. Oh, we want the Bible, we want you, Lord, but we only want this part of the Bible. Remember the sermon I gave some time ago? The evangelical Bible? Two verses? Yes. Forsaken me and burning incense to other gods and worshiping the works of their own hands. Take a look at every commercial that is selling something that is manufactured, especially cars. I love my car. Do you love God? God? But I love my car. Works of your own hands, whatever it may be. Now, here's what we need to do. A lot of people are going to say, well, what should I do? Number one, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and if you've got over $250,000 in the bank, think about taking out another account in another bank. If you're fortunate enough to have been prudent enough that down through the years you've bought a little gold and a little silver and you have a little stash of that, hold on to it, because when the collapse of the dollar comes, then it will be of great value. But do not keep it in any bank, because they have the right to confiscate anything in their, what do they call those? Depository box that you would own. Okay? Number two on gold and silver, don't tell anyone you have anything. Okay? And number three, my wife says, Fred, don't paint your red car, because I have a 91 Nissan Maxima, and the paint job is really ratty. And she says when they Google our house, they'll look down there and see that old car, and the paint job all terrible, she said. And they won't think that we have anything. Okay? All right. Now here's what we need to do mentally. See? Because there are going to be things that if you are led by your feelings and your emotions, it is going to be so catastrophically difficult for you to hold together. So you must rely on God, His Spirit, His Word, and commit yourself to Him. He'll watch over you. He will guide you. He will keep you out of trouble. But remember, even Jeremiah, though God says here, and we'll read it in just a minute, said that I will be with you. Remember, he was thrown in to the muck of the sewer and had to be rescued. So that doesn't mean you aren't going to have troubles. And how was he rescued? With torn old clothes. And you read in the book of Jeremiah that he says, Lord, I've done all of these things. Why do you do this to me? He says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Okay. He was with him in the sewer, wasn't he? Yes, indeed. All right, verse 17. You, therefore, must gird up your loins and arise. Strengthen yourself. Speak to them all that I command you. And this is what all the ministers of God need to be doing today. Do not be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. Don't shrink back and hold the words back, because I have given you the responsibility to speak them. So forget about PC, political correctness. For behold, here's what God had to do to Jeremiah, and he needs to do with us. For behold, I have made you a fortified city this day, an iron pillar, a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its rulers, against its priests, and against the people of the land. Now you talk about a lonely, 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 lonely job. The only one he had was Baruch, his secretary. Verse 19, and they shall fight against you, but they shall not overcome you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. They have forsaken God. Same thing it says there, just put this in your notes, Jeremiah 1 and verse 4, they have forsaken God. They forsake the law of God. What did Jesus say at the end time? Because lawlessness will be multiplied. Multiplied, not just add on. The love of many will grow cold. And that has to happen while the gospel is being preached in all the world. Okay? All right, now let's look at some things that need to be done. Now, first of all, let's look at Israel. Let's come to the book of Psalm 78. Psalm 78. How much repentance can there be in the modern nations of Israel today? I do not know. How many people are out there trying to do the right thing, even with the knowledge that they have? We do not know. But let's hope that there are some. I think we can identify some in the Congress. But whether they have enough power to overcome the current dictator in the Oval Office is another question. And where his allegiance lie also is another question. We can be sure of one thing. His allegiance do not lie with the God who's creator of heaven and earth and author of the Word of God in the Bible. That we can be sure of. Though he may hypocritically attend a so-called Christian church while carrying a Bible. All right. This was Israel in the wilderness. Verse 31, Psalm 78. Verse 31. The wrath of God was upon them and killed the strongest of them and struck down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they still sinned and did not believe in his wonderful works. Now, you talk about having God close to you. He was there in the cloud every day, in pillar of fire every night. He sent you manna 6 days of the week. You know, they could have had the quail much easier and much nicer than they did. They could have gone to Moses and say, Moses, why don't you call a day of fast and we'll all pray and ask God to send us some more quail. Would you do that? We know that he can do it. He did it for us. And boy, that was really delicious. No, they had their lust, so God sent them 30 days of quail and they choked on their own devouring of it. They still sin. Therefore, he ended their days in vanity and their years in terror. When he slew them, then they sought him. Remember 9/11? And they turned back and sought after God earnestly. And they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God was their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouths. That's why I say, how many are really, truly sincere? I think that the closest one of all of them would be Michelle Bachmann. Closest one of all. But is she treated with open arms? Oh, you're such a wonderful, righteous woman. No. Well, she is compared to most of the sleazy politicians on the other side of the aisle. All right. They flattered him with their mouths and they lied to him with their tongues. You know, it's like the, remember the old comedy routine by Bill Cosby and Noah? You know, he was there working in his shop, you know. Noah, who's that? It's the Lord, Noah. I've been good. I've been good. Okay. That's the way people are. Verse 37, for their heart was not steadfast with him, neither were they faithful in his covenant. But notice what God did, because they were his people. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yea, many times he turned away his anger and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and does not come again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? And still again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Isn't that something? So what will happen? What will the people do? What will the churches of God do in preaching to the world? What will the worldly Christian churches do in preaching to their people? Is it going to be business as usual? Social club as usual? Now, I talked to Phil Neal, who's finishing, he's our editor, and he's finishing the book that we're going to have on United States and Britain in prophecy. And he's on chapter 19 right now. And he said that he wanted to find out what the Tea Party was all about. So they had a Tea Party meeting down where he was, and he went to it. And he says, they are oblivious concerning anything about God. Not one word, repent. Everybody go home and pray. No. You pick up the phone, everybody, you go home, pick up the phone, and you call your congressman. See? They flatter God. They don't remember. Provoked him. Verse 41, and still again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And they did not remember his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. Quite a thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, we won't turn there. But Paul writes, let the one who names the name of Christ depart from lawlessness and iniquity. So unless... It's like this clip of the black preacher that Randy Vild put in on one of the churches at home concerning the Sabbath. The black preacher, he got up there and said, Sunday is not the Lord's day. The Sabbath is the Lord's day. And he said, Sunday is a white man's invention. Well, it's God's invention, not a white... Sabbath is God's invention. But Sunday, I don't know if we could vouch for the race of the people that invented it. Nevertheless, he had the Sabbath right. So unless there is something that comes along where is little better than the notice that Alice got from her former church, a new beginning, come to Sunday worship again. See? Send a little mailer, little advertising. Yes, let's get more people in. See? No, you have to have more people turning to God. All right. Now, let's come back to Psalm 50 again here. Psalm 50. And let's look what God tells us who are with him. And from this, we can understand then what we need to do. God will be with us. God will be for us. He will help us. Psalm 50. Okay? Let's begin right here in verse 1. This is why we need to understand the faith of God. Now, it's also very interesting. Just a little sidebar. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, talks about how all Israel passed under the cloud and were baptized unto Moses going through the sea. Okay? Then he talks about that Christ was that rock. Then he says in another verse a little later, let us not tempt Christ as they tempted him. So that's one of the first things that these religionists will have to acknowledge.
Okay?
Now, Psalm 50. We need to be strong in the Lord. Nothing physical is going to deliver us. Verse 1, the mighty God, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. And I was thinking as I was driving over here for services, isn't it amazing that God has so much love for all the people that in spite of all the wickedness, in spite of everything that's going on, the sun rises and sets. You know, some of us with our tempers, we'd look down here and we'd tell the earth, stop! And kill everyone. Verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, and of course we are in heavenly Zion with our membership there written in the book of life. God has shined forth. Our God shall come. Remember, he's called us, as we covered during the Feast of Tabernacles, to straighten out this world. Our God shall come. He shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth so that he may judge his people. Here's the resurrection. Gather my saints unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and of course that is through baptism. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. That means stop and think and meditate on this. That's something. All right. Let's come to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Now here's a great psalm, especially for today. We'll start in verse 1. We'll cover a good part of this here. Verse 1, Psalm 37. Do not fret yourself because of evil doers, and do not be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Every time you start to get upset about it, think of a giant lawnmower cutting them all down and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Just because other people sin, get away with it, don't you do it. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. This has to be how we strengthen our minds inside. You know, just like God told Jeremiah, I'm going to make your mind like an iron wall. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now let's look at that of the things for eternal life. And here's what to do every single day. Commit your way unto the Lord. That's why we have the daily prayer. See? The outline of it. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness like the light, and your judgment like the noonday. That has to be in our daily life, but the fulfillment of that will be when? At the resurrection. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't do like Sarah did. God told us we're going to have a son, but, you know, we're having trouble here, Abraham. Now, I've got this young chick over here, and she's my maid. Now, it's legal if you go into her. She can be an heir. And lo and behold, 3,000 years later, we are burdened with that advice. Commit your way to him. He'll bring it to pass. Wait patiently for him, verse 7. Do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way. Remember 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. for everything that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the all of that is of the world, and it's going to perish, see? Because when all the physical things evaporate, if you do not have God, you have nothing. Because of him who carries out wicked devices, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret yourself. It only leads to evil. Boy, it isn't that true. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Think of that. Think how great that reward is, the earth made right by God the Father and Jesus Christ. It is but a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, but he shall not be there. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now think about the wicked who plot against us. How does God look at that? Because God sees all of it. Verse 12, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes against him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. All right? Now, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but let's pick it up here in verse 22, because I want you to understand one of the things that he's talking about here is when the wicked prosper and have all of these things. Many times through here he says, inherit the earth. He wants us to remember that. We have a greater blessing, we have a greater goal, which far outweighs all the troubles that we're going to be against here, okay? Verse 22, for those blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and those cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are made firm by the Lord, and he delights in his way. See, if you're loving God and keeping his way, he delights in you. You don't have to go around with a guilty conscience. I mean, if you've sinned, go repent, get it over. Get rid of it. God will remove it as far as the east is from the west. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God is there with you. Now, for all of those of us here, I don't see anyone here under 40 years, okay? Verse 25, I have been young. And now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging bread. All the day long he deals graciously and lends, and his children are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and live forevermore. That's what God wants, see? For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Okay? Come over here to verse 38, just a minute. I brought this out at the Feast of Tabernacles, but this talks about the lake of fire. This verse could only apply at the lake of fire. Verse 38. But sinners shall be destroyed together. That could only happen at the lake of fire. So remember, God is going to take care of all of it. The prosperity of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Remember, he says, I will help you in trouble. Just like he had to be there with Jeremiah when he was thrown into the okay, and was up to it. I imagine he vomited. Get down there and smell all that stuff. All right? But God was with him. Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they take refuge in him. All right. Now let's come to the New Testament and see what we need to do. Let's come to Philippians, the second chapter. Okay? And sometimes some of the things that we do, we wonder if it is making any difference in this evil world. Well, don't worry about it. We're going to straighten out the world. Think of that. Wonder what it's going to be when God says to someone like President Obama, Barack, come here. Okay. So we need to keep our focus. That's the whole thing. Because these things are going to come. And woe to the people who do not pay attention that it's coming. And woe to those shepherds, as God says, who do not give the warning. So here's what we need to do. And Paul wrote this when he was in prison with chains on his feet. Verse 1, Philippians 2. Now then, if there be any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, and that has to come from God, if any fellowship of the Spirit, you're to grow in grace and knowledge in the Spirit of God, if any deep inner affections and compassions, fulfill my joy, that you may be of the same mind, having the same love, being joined together in soul, minding the one thing which is the kingdom of God. Let nothing be done through contention or vainglory, but in humility, each esteeming the other above himself. Let each one look not only after his own things, but let each one also consider the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Now remember how God told Jeremiah he had to have a mind of bronze and iron. Another place he says, I will make your forehead harder than a flint. Think of what Christ had to think of and do when he knew that his hour had come and he was to be led off and go through everything that he had prophesied in the Old Testament that would take place. The beating, the scourging, the tearing of the flesh, the trials, all of those things and the crucifixion. And then the first thing he said when he was on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Now, this is the kind of mind that we need to have, strengthened by God. Now notice, you think you have to give up something? He owns the universe. So when he came to the earth, he gave up everything and reduced down to a small pinpoint of life and had enough of God still with him that he could be called God manifested into flesh. Other than that, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, he was like every single one of us. Now then, that's like asking us, oh, come over here. What's this? What do you see? Oh, I see an anthill. All right, you become an ant. You got to save this anthill, but you can only do it if you're an ant. Now think about how great God is. Okay? Verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men and took the form of a servant. The Greek is doulos, which means slave. And being found in the manner of men, that means every bodily process, sleeping, waking, so forth. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, knowing every detail of what was going to happen, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name. And we are going to be given a new name, named by God. Isn't that something? Think on that. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of beings in heaven and on earth and under the earth, And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that is also a prophecy going out into the future. See? So then, my beloved, now then he tells us what we need to be doing. Even as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Keep at what you need to be doing. Keep at study. Keep at prayer. Keep at changing and growing and developing the mind of Christ. Here's the reason. For it is God who works in you to will, being led of the Holy Spirit, guided by God to do what he desires you to do, and to do according to his good pleasure. Do all things without complaints and disputes, so that you may be blameless, without offense, innocent children of God in the midst of a crooked, perverted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now that's what it has to be. That's a strong challenge for us too. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. So that's what we need to do. We've got a lot of things that are going to come that are most people would not even understand or consider that it's coming, because they are never told. So that's how we have to lead our lives, live our lives, trust in God, and go forward every day. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.